the stuff where they were studying the English commentary, and they were like, yeah.
I feel,
But they were like,
Rick, I don't mind talking about it because, like, I feel like I can even like reference to the guy we already know, like PMP.
Like, guys have known from time that guys
yeah,
are always
from
like, ah,
time.
this black guy is a very powerful player.
Yes, exactly.
All those coded
I will
words. So
give,
they're
I will,
like,
like, for example, even this guy, Saint Maximin as well.
Alan Saint-Maximin.
Yes.
They're always talking about the guy like he's Saul Magbero, even
and
though
do you
he's
get,
actually
but
dribbling and mashing up guys up.
Exactly. A man studied mixology. And they're here talking.
They're always talking about the guy with like natural athletic ability, that stuff.
Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and a special welcome to all our guests on today's episode of the Biased Football Show. I'm your host, Chetana, bringing you the best in footballing agendas. Today, we were supposed to congratulate our Liverpool fan supporters on winning the Premier League, but you know what? We told Chooks to get out because we don't want to do that. I'm here with my good friend Kelechi Odom. Kelechi, how you doing?
What's good? I'm good. I'm good. I hope you're good as well.
I'm not good, man. Feeling very blue. Chelsea be giving it to me every day of the week. But we'll take it. We'll move on. So, yeah, Liverpool fans, congratulations or whatever, but we don't like you in this place.
I'm not
moving
telling.
On.
I'm not telling Liverpool congratulations. Like that's for them. Like they're taking the trophy. They don't need my congratulations. Why am I telling Liverpool I hate them so much. Cross and inshallah football. This is not. If any Liverpool fan is listening, that's what won you the league. And the fact that everyone else was bad, that's what won you the league. I don't want to hear no, oh, congratulations, Liverpool, you lot were the best, oh, this, that, none of that. None of that. Dead it.
All right, I'm getting a little hot. Let's move on. Stepping outside the Premier League, we saw... Well, I don't know how to say it, but we saw another mashup of the highest order from Barcelona. After already losing the top spot to Real Madrid, you think there'll be a bounce back in order? But, I mean, we just saw a pen game, 2-2, with Atletico Madrid, which was, I mean, Udi, what did you think? It was...
it was such a dead game. Like, it was so... Like, you could tell both teams that they were just slow. And don't get me started on the goals. Well, own goals, penalties, own goal, penalty. Like, bro, what is going on? Like, what game are we watching here? And when you think about it, like, it's fair enough because when you look at Barcelona, who were their match winners except Messi? Like, who actually decided to come forward and actually play ball that game? It was just.
I mean, I can play devil's advocate and be like, maybe Suarez on a good day, but man, those days are few and far between, man.
To be fair, like Bon Suarez, like that game, yeah. Apart, like leave Messi, the only player, Barcelona player that kind of stood out for me was Puig, and like you can tell, like he's actually coming into that role a bit more, but he's not the player we're going to rely on when it's time for goals. So I don't understand, like. What the plan is? What, to be honest, we can get into Barcelona and Atletico, but I don't even want to talk about them right now because they're both teams are shit at this point. Like that's the summary of it all. Both teams are bad, and they need to work on themselves. They need to go through a whole transformation because this is that game was horrendous. Both teams don't know how to play football, like, and it shows in the quality of the goals that were scored, basically.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you. There's not much you can say. Barcelona is a terrible team at the moment. If not for the fact they have Ter Stegen in the post, it'd be a different season entirely.
Exactly. Like, oh my goodness, he saved them so much.
Like, ridiculous. I feel sad sometimes watching the games because I'm like, this is supposed to be a team that, you know, gets me excited. I'm supposed to be enjoying the game, and I'm like, struggling to keep my eyes on the match because it's just boring. There's nothing going on. There's no interesting play. Nobody is doing any inventive moves. It's just dead ball all the time.
All round.
And I mean, like, literally, Suarez looked like he was carrying another human being on his back for the whole match. That was just rolling all over the place. And then Setién is just a whole other mashup because dude did not do anything to change that match. He had a plan. When the plan failed him, he literally didn't know what else to do. The Barcelona players decided, you know what, we'll just do whatever we want, pass the ball to Messi, see whatever happens. And just, oh.
With Setién, I don't understand what type of like I know he's a possession based like for coach, but possession with what? There needs to be intent there. Like they just pass around, and they give it to Messi, and they're like, okay, now that we're in the final third, go do whatever you want to do. We've given it to you up to those points, but that's not the best way to play football. And I don't understand. Like if he was the one behind that Arthur sale. Then he needs to be out now. Like, I don't even want to hear it. He needs to be out right now because how can you sell Arthur and bring in Pjanic? But that was also down to the board as well. But yeah, like I said, we can get into Barcelona like a lot more than this. Like, we can grill them for a whole episode. So I'll just free it for now.
All right, let's turn to matters in England. The top four is, it looks like it's going to be another one of those where guys are stumbling out of the top four because, I mean, Leicester has been awful all through this restart. Like, they've not looked like a good team. It looks like the plan just totally over. The Renaissance is done and everybody's like tired of the Brendan Rodgers project. So, what do you think? What's the problem there?
With Leicester, to be honest, I feel like it's a thing of they. I think they need extra players, not just players to obviously come into the first team, but players to shake things up a bit. Players that will, what's it called, rival other players for positions. Like, there's no right now. There's no like Leicester is going to start with the same midfield. Maybe once in a while, they bring in Choudhury or whoever it is, or out or Brighton. But you know their midfield is going to be the same always. Their back line is going to be the same always. Their front, like their front three is always going to be the same. So like there is no variety. There's no difference in like the link up play. Maybe they bring in Kelechi sometimes and he scores one or two goals, but there's nothing there. There's nothing going for them right there. Like, and they can't sustain this to the end of the season because, like a couple of weeks ago, I said Leicester were going to be in the top four. I was so sure they were not dropping out, but right now. I can't lie, I see them actually falling off, unfortunately, but that's just the way it looks as it is right now.
Well, you may be thinking they're going to drop out, but Chelsea might disagree with you because they seem to want to throw away every single chance they've been handed to get into this top four. Because, I mean, you beat Man City, and a week later, you're losing to West Ham.
West
I mean,
Ham.
and it's not like you lost in a scrappy way, they had you by, I mean, it was not like we were robbed or it was unfair. They popped and the goal was even cancelled, yet they still beat us 3-2. We could only score a penalty and an exceptional free kick from Willian. So, I don't know, man. What do you think? Is it that they just can't get ready for the small teams? What's the problem?
Problem with Chelsea. See, yeah, I think first of all, I think Lampard is excellent. He's a very, you can tell like he's a good coach that he's trying to bring something to the table. But I'll say for now, they need to free this Kante experiment as GM. I feel like you have Jorginho Kovacic. You knew that those guys in your midfield, they were going to do the business. You knew Tomori Zuma at the back. That was what was like those that was it called that core. That was what was working for them. And I know obviously you have to switch things around, but like in these type of games like that you want like this close game, because West Ham is fighting relegation. They are going to go all out to win it. So you also still need what you've been doing that's made your team like successful up until this point. Chelsea did not do that. I don't understand why they want to force this Kante as your DM. It's not going to happen. It's not going to work. And honestly, I think another problem is their fullbacks. Azpilicueta and what's it called, Alonso on the other side. It just doesn't work, man. Because even for that last goal, Alonso was caught lacking. Because from where the counter attack started, he could have come back, but he didn't even sense the danger at all. Like he was casually strolling, and Yarmolenko ran past him, and ran all the way. And it's just, it's those type of things. Like, what do you do in that situation where players let you down?
Yeah, you can blame Alonso for that. I understand. But, like, the system was set up to press. And Rudiger kept himself back and exposed the whole high line. So I get that Alonso wasn't urgent in tracking back, but you guys asked Rudiger what he was doing, playing 20 yards of onside space for Yarmolenko in that situation.
That's true. Like, he was too far back. In that type of situation, you should be like closer towards the halfway line.
Yeah, you should be closer to the halfway line so that your team doesn't get caught napping.
Yeah, he really messed up there, but it's one game, and we can't say like it's Rudiger's fault that Chelsea is.
But this isn't one game, though. It isn't one game. Like, Rudiger has been suspect all season. He's been really bad. So the only reason I think he might still be here is the fact that he seems to have played a big part in signing Timo Werner. That might be the only reason that Chelsea fans are going to cut him any slack at all.
So do you think would you say Rudiger is one of the main reasons why you might not make top four?
What I'll say is this, is our defense, when Rudiger isn't on the pitch, is kind of good. Because I feel Zuma, Tomori, Christensen, they're not the best centre-backs in the world. I won't call them elite level, but they don't have many mistakes in them. But Rudiger seems to have learned the bad things from David Luiz. I mean... for the second goal, the corner, he literally had the ball in empty. No one was marking him. He was alone with Kante beside him. And he just passes it out. And it's not like he intended. He just like mashed up the clearance and kicked it out for a corner with no pressure on him. Why?
To be honest, like, I'm not a centre-back, so I wouldn't know what's going through his head in that situation. But I feel like, for me, I've always looked at Rudiger as one of your better centre-backs in for Chelsea. So I don't really understand, like, where, like, all of this is coming from, or where the errors are coming from as well, because he's never struck me as that type of player. So I think it's just a matter of, like let's just dead the season for him, and then let's see again next season. Because I wouldn't put him, like, I wouldn't blame him as one of the main reasons, because we still have people like Kepa, and like you said already before, that like Chelsea, they let in like the least shots or one out of all the top six. If I'm,
they're like second or third in the Premier League for shots faced. Yeah,
exactly. So I would say that type of record shows that the defense is doing something for sure. Or maybe not enough, to be honest.
But then the thing is this isn't a one-off situation. Chelsea has been, I mean, for the last 10 years, they've been a team that tends to just lose against teams they shouldn't be losing to. Let's look at this season. West Ham has beaten them twice.
Yeah.
They lost to Bournemouth. They lost, I think they drew or lost to Brighton. And it looks like they're always up for the Man Cities, the Liverpools, they're ready to go toe-to-toe with these big teams. But then when it comes to playing teams that they know they have to just play their football and they win the match, they just can't do that.
To be fair, it reminds me of like old Liverpool. So like back then, Liverpool were a Robin Hood club. Like play big teams, get all the points, and then go back and distribute it down to the smaller teams. I think that's basically Chelsea this season. And it's just one of those things where with more signings, and like as Chelsea have already started doing, with more signings, just to fill in gaps in like different positions. Maybe you need like two new centre backs, or a new centre back, a full back, and with your attackers, the attackers you sign now, you guys should be fine for sure. So I just feel like it's just one of those things where it's a phase that Lampard has to come through. It's a phase that any club that is rebuilding has to go through. So this too will pass for sure.
Anyway, enough of that. Let's go to the teams on the rise. Manchester United and Wolves. Right. How do you look at Man U, man?
To be fair, before we get to United, right now, if you told me to predict my top four, I'm not going to lie to you. You already know who the top two are going to be, but the next two would probably, the way it's looking, would probably be United and Wolves. Because these two teams, they've come back looking like they're ready, like especially United. like all guns blazing. Their attack is flowing. Pogba is back. Then obviously we have Bruno Fernandes, and not just that, Wan-Bissaka has started assisting all of a sudden. Like once that starts happening, you know United are here to stay. Like, because if that guy is assisting, then there's a problem. There's a problem with this as a whole, because Wan-Bissaka is objectively one of the worst fullbacks going forward. So for him to be racking up assists this season, it's very shocking to see. And that means like United are on the right track, and every other person in the league is moving mad. I'm moving trash. But yeah, I feel like United, they're very much going to make top four at the rate that they're going, unless like they suffer like a huge bleep in the next six games. But I don't see that happening.
I mean, as a Chelsea fan, I've just been watching and I feel like this is what I want my team to look like. I want all the parts to work. I feel like United is just a team that all the parts have come together. And it's a beautiful, coherent machine. Like, I watched the Brighton game and I was like, this is football. They picked apart a Brighton team that tried desperately to hold on. Like, it was just... Bruno is... oh my God, he's such a good player. And I don't know, man. Ollie seems to have had a plan. And guys were doubting him from the get. But he's looking good.
To be fair, I feel like it's also because of this start. Is prevented teams from, what's it called, having that momentum. And obviously, some teams are going to come back stronger than others. United seem to be one of those teams. But I'm waiting for them to do this again next season. Let's see what they can do when there's like a full like extended run without this gap. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from them, because I still think they're going to make top four. But I wouldn't just say oh, Ole is the man or he's doing it, because like we've seen how Ole started when he first came into United and how much he fell off. I don't know how the board stuck with him during that period, but let's see if it will pan out like perfectly for them, to be honest.
Well, then what about Wolves? I mean, those guys just seem all business. They take all their 3 points and they go.
With Wolves, yeah. It's not like Wolves play like this, like, fantastic brand of football. They just do enough to get their points. Like, you know, Jimenez is going to pull up. You know, Jota. And don't get me started on Traore that has, like, this season, he's decided to become a world beater, because I don't understand. This guy gets the ball and you're already scared. Like, you can feel like something is going to happen. Like, that's a game changer right there. How many players can you, when they get the ball, like, you're scared? Like, and it doesn't help him. Like, the fact that he's big, yeah, and he's still very fast and he can dribble, it makes it so difficult for defenders. Like, obviously, back then, people used to talk about his end product, but he's improved that tremendously this season. And that's, I would say that's part of the reason why Wolves are moving up top. So if you should keep that up, and if everyone else should like stay at it, I don't see why Wolves should not be in the top four, because no one else looks as interested as United and Wolves right now. Because even as we're speaking, Tottenham is losing to Sheffield 2-0. Like, these are teams that are supposed to be like rivaling for the top, like top six, and they're just not interested. Like, you can tell, like, these teams are not, they didn't come here to be serious. So I don't see why Wolves and United should miss out on the top four.
I get you, man. They just look like a team that they're up for it, man. They want to win games no matter how they do it. They have a plan, get the 3 points and go home. And it's working, man.
Efficiency FC right there.
That's the way it has to be. Well, these guys aren't in the top four race, but I feel like we just have to mention we have to look at them. So, Arsenal, Spurs, what's popping, man? What's going on with the London teams?
Honestly, let's start with Tottenham. With Tottenham, I don't see Mourinho making it to the end. Like, okay, he'll make it to the end of this season, but I don't see him like doing like another full season. Like, unless like next season is brilliant from Tottenham, I don't see them doing another full season with him, because right now they are not playing good football. It's quite frankly, it's atrocious. He has lost Ndombele, who is probably going to leave at the end of this season, or he's going to be seen as like this outcast by Mourinho, and he's not going to play any games. Like, you know how he usually rolls. Once Mourinho doesn't like you, like everything just gets blown out of proportion. And I feel like Kane might come to a point where he's like, I am not going to win anything with these people ever. Like, it doesn't look remotely possible, so I am going to leave. And that's what's going to happen, because Tottenham right now, they don't look, there's no identity. There's no, like, there's nothing that stands out for them as a club, which quite rightly is not good enough, especially when you have Mourinho that is coaching you. Like, to be fair, Mourinho is watched, but his legacy alone should bring some, like, should hold, like, water, should bring some value, but that's not doing, like, it's not doing that. So, I would say Tottenham, they're dusted, they're not going to make it to the top. They're not even going to make it to top six, quite frankly. As for Arsenal, to be honest, I don't know what, like, with Arsenal, I feel like there's this bias, but looking at it objectively, I don't see them making top six as well, just because all the teams above them, like, look more serious. And right now, they are, what, 6 points off top six. So I don't see, like, how many teams, like, dropping 6 points, especially in this type of period, like, for Arsenal to come up. And the thing with Arsenal is, even if other teams drop, like, points, are we sure Arsenal would get the 3 points that they need? You know, that's always the question. It's not even about other teams. It's about if Arsenal is ready to get the 3 points. I mean, like, this Norwich game, for example, like, I won't lie, that's Arsenal played good football, like, that game. But then, my problem
is... It's Norwich.
Yeah, it's Norwich. And not just that, like, the goals were gifted. Like, against more serious teams, are we seeing that style of football? No. Against more serious teams, are we seeing that many goals? No. So, quite frankly, I don't see Arsenal, what's it called, making top six.
Well, I hear you. And for, like, Tottenham, I feel Mourinho has always been Mourinho. Like, he's never changed, really, as a manager. He always does this. He's this somewhat charismatic guy who comes in, takes a few players under his wing, and then proceeds to start outcasting several guys to show his dominance in the locker room. And that works when you're a serial winner. But then winning is no longer in people's memories of Mourinho. Like, it's done. He's been kind of in a rut for, what, 4 years? And now you're thinking, well, this guy isn't really a winner, right? So why should we listen to him? And there are mutinies going on all over the place because, like, Spurs players are not used to this kind of abuse. They've always had a manager who's, like, ready to take them to the next point in their careers. And Mourinho is like, better deliver for me or you're out. And you can see him, Ndombele is like, I can't handle any of this crap anymore, man. He's publicly denounced the guy, which is just never a good sign.
Exactly.
For your locker room. And then with Arsenal, I mean, what else can you say, man? The caliber of player is not good for a team of that name. I just have to say, like, when you look at Arsenal, you're like, who deserves to play in the first team for the Arsenal Football Club? And you're like, Aubameyang and Bernd Leno. And then you're now looking around trying to give yourself reasons to put anybody else in that starting exec. Don't get me wrong. Very good youngsters. Saka, Nketiah, Martinelli. Very good, promising. Maitland-Niles. Good players. They're good young players. They shouldn't be the best players at Arsenal.
Exactly.
And I'm just like, there was something that just really depressed me a couple of days ago. Somebody said, a Spurs player said, in the last few years, Arsenal has not been our London rivalry. And that's sad to hear. Because how can you actually just be discounted by your supposed rival? They've said it, that you're not a challenge. They're not up to it, man. Arsenal games are no longer the threat they used to be. And that just shows the direction the club's been going in the past few years.
Which Spurs player said that? Because quite frankly, I know Arsenal is washed right now, but Spurs and their players should not be talking about any of that, because when I think about, like, Arsenal have won, like, what was it called, a couple of games against Spurs, like, the times, like, they played the past few seasons, Like, if we're talking about maybe big positions here, you can say, like, Arsenal or Tottenham, there's been a difference. But quite frankly, they're not doing anything themselves. They don't have any trophies to show. Arsenal can be washed. And, you know, maybe they might pick up a cheeky FA Cup. But with Tottenham, you know they're going trophy-less. Like, granted, because of this, like, what's it called? Because of this Champions League final, they think they can, like, they can talk smack. It's not going to happen. They're never going to be on Arsenal's level, unfortunately. Like, that's point blank, period. Like, they're not on Arsenal's, like, level. And it's not like Arsenal on, like, this, like, insane level right now. They are washed. So that shows you how bad Tottenham are as well. Like, I feel like that Champions League final has, like, put them in a position where they...
Okay, but wait. Let me just give you the stats. Since 2014...
Yeah.
Arsenal has beat Spurs twice.
Okay.
And how many games have been played?
How many times has Spurs beat Arsenal? That's also an important question.
Three times.
You see, not that many. Like,
yeah, but let me count the games. There have been almost 12 games.
Yeah, but what I'm saying,
12 games.
What I'm saying is,
so wait, 12 games. Two wins for Arsenal, three for Spurs, mm-hmm. and then draws all through.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, they're probably thinking, well, in the early 2000s in Highbury, and probably through the early games in the Emirates Stadium, Arsenal would win those games.
Okay, how many, now check how many trophies, between 2014 and now, how many trophies have Arsenal won, and how many have...
Well, that's a different discussion, though. So we're just going to leave it at that. Because I don't want to be the Chelsea fan telling Spurs fans they don't got no trophies. But they don't got no trophies. Exactly. Anyway, let's leave this, because as we've seen it, the top four looks to favor Manchester United and Wolves. But we'll still be in for some surprises and twists and turns till the end of the season, but it's looking really bad for Chelsea and Leicester. Let's move on to something a little more interesting. This episode's Fraud Watch. Who do you got?
The first person on my Fraud Watch, I feel like people have even forgotten about him, and that's Dele Alli. Like, he had, like 15, 16, 16, 17, Dele Alli was on it. And then you're wondering, okay, this guy might be the next, like, what's it called? Wonder Kid. Like, he's coming, like, full guns blazing. Then all of a sudden, he just falls off. Like, he just drops. Like, it's not like he doesn't, because he'll still always be a player, yeah, that will get you goals. Once in a while,
yeah,
and get your assists. But like, in terms of influence in the game, sometimes I just don't see it. Like, Dele Alli is the type of player to disappear, as with a lot of Spurs players. But I think that's also down to how they play. But he doesn't command games. Like, have you ever seen a game where? Have you ever watched a Tottenham game where you're like, oh, Dele Alli ran this game. Dele Alli was like.
Well, yeah, I agree with you, but like, he's not an on the ball player. He's not a playmaker. He's not a creator type. He's like a shadow striker, essentially, because the best we've seen of him was, I would say, 2016-17.
Yeah.
I think that's the season that Spurs and Leicester went
head to head. Yeah.
And he got, 18 Premier League goals, which is like a ridiculous number. But the only reason he got those goals was because he was playing directly off Harry Kane in most of those matches. Because he was always in and around the box. And you always forget that Kane is the playmaker of Spurs, more or less. He's the guy that's going to be looking for passes, trying to feed in players. So, I don't know. It's like, it's unfair, because there's never a match where you're like, Muller is pulling all the strings. He's just the guy that ghosts in and, you know, has those one-touch passes and those ridiculous runs late into the box.
Well, but for me, yeah. So what you're trying to say is, so now, if let's say if Alli isn't involved in goals or assists, that means he's invisible.
He's done. He's nothing. Yeah, he's nothing.
Then for me, but then he's not been involved in that much, which means he should be on Frog Watch, and which means he should be looked at.
Like, oh, no. I'm not disagreeing with you. Sorry, if it sounds like I'm defending, I'm not. He is a fraud. Let's not even mince words a bit, but like, he's a fraud because he's no longer doing what he's supposed to do. He's the goal scoring guy, but he's no longer doing that. Like, I don't know if it's Mourinho because it started kind of before that. So
no, it's definitely not Mourinho, because when Mourinho first came in, Ali picked up on form. Like, everyone said,
yeah, there was a resurgence.
Yeah, Mourinho has unlocked Dele Alli, blah blah blah. But you can tell it's just like that new manager bounce that that a lot of teams get. And once that bounce was, like, once that period, that honeymoon period was over, we saw the real Ali once again. The Ali that is always just looking to nutmeg and just call it a day. The Ali that he doesn't know how to hold on to the ball. Like, there's so many issues that I have with him, but because I just don't see, like, what's Dele Alli good at except late runs in behind. Just to score like goals, and it's not like he scores them that often for you to call him a very good player. So what is he really good at? Nothing, quite frankly, nothing.
Well, before we go, just to finish on this Dele Alli being washed, I think we should just quickly tell the viewers, at this moment Tottenham is losing 3-0 to Sheffield United. And I mean, it's tough to see, and that shows you. I don't think it's only Dele, man. The team is fraudulent.
Well, you know, I'm never going to blame him for their losses. I'm going to be honest, their losses are probably going to be on Mourinho. For me, he is part of, like, he's the main problem. He's actually the main problem. Like, what's Mourinho's, like I've said, what is Mourinho's identity? What is his philosophy? To be honest, Mourinho should be on Fraud Watch as well. Because he's another person that is dusted and is living off past glory. I'm sorry to say that, but Mourinho is nothing at this point. Like, what does he do? What does he do well? Except, like, cause scenes. Except, like, Mourinho is the type of guy, when it's time for him to do math, 186 goals in 4 years, 46 goals. When did Drogba score? I feel like everyone that's listening should know the interview that I'm talking about. And for me, like, that's the only thing Mourinho is good at, controversy. When it's time to play ball on the pitch, he doesn't know how to. So maybe I might be a bit hard on Dele Alli, but obviously this all started before, like, Mourinho came in. That's why I'm not going to give him, like, the benefit of the doubt. But as for Mourinho, I feel like everyone knows. Everyone that's also been coached by him knows as well. So we'll just leave it there.
Okay, the last player we're going to talk about on the Fraud Watch is, since we're going in on Dele Alli, let's talk about the other English player that's also vying for his exact same spot in the Euros, Ross Barkley. I mean, I think I'll go first because I think I have a lot to say, so I'll just try to wrap it up.
Yeah.
But, like, Barkley is, I mean, he is the definition of a wolf in sheep's clothing. He shows up to some games and he puts on this I'm a good footballer uniform and he scores a goal, you know. He puts up a 8 out of 10 performance and he gets everybody thinking, you know what, it might be the time. It might be finally the time for Ross Barkley to come out and become a good footballer. And then, as soon as he gets you sucked in, he turns back to the same Ross Barkley we all know and hate.
You know what it is, yeah? The problem is, Ross Barkley, yeah? When the international break is coming, you already know this guy is going to start bowling again. He's going to score, do this, do that. He's going to get involved in the game. Just say that, all right, cool. He's back in the England squad. Once that's done, once the international break is done, you know, we're getting the old dead Ross Barkley. And I know, like, I know what Ross Barkley is good at. He's good at dribbling. He's good at shooting. But, like, I feel like the problem with him is inconsistency and just the fact that I feel like he just forgets he knows. Yeah, sometimes he forgets that he knows how to play. Because, like, he'll be like, last week you were in this same exact position and you did like
something exceptional.
Exactly.
And then today you just forgot how to play football. He's literally just standing there and he's going, I don't know what to do. And I'm going to decide to waste the counter-attack we have so that I can figure out what I want to do. Why are you doing stuff like that?
Like, Ross Barkley is one player that I thought, like, he had so much, when I say so much potential, like, when he moved to Chelsea, I was like, okay, maybe this is a new start for him. Like, he can come in and actually do bits. That has not panned out as expected, and I don't see him, like, what was it called, being that player anymore, because he's 26 right now. Like, gone are those days where we're like, oh, he could potentially...
Potential.
Yeah.
It's no longer potential.
It's no longer potential. He should be showing us that he is, he should be an established, like, midfielder, an established midfielder that is starting games. But he's still not that type of player. I feel like maybe he's the type of player that just does well in a smaller team. Maybe he's the type of player that just needs to be the center of most of the attacks, or the center of, or just like the main man in the midfield. He's not going to get that at Chelsea. He's not going to get that at any big club he goes to. So maybe he just needs to take a step down and just go to his level, quite frankly, to make it work for himself. Because right now he's going to end up being a player that could have been. Like, he could have been like this great player, but he just never was. And that would be his legacy, like the way he's going right now. So he needs to just like think about his career, take a step down, go to a smaller team, and just be like Saint-Maximin. Like, they love him where he is right now in Newcastle. Like, that's the type of thing he can do in like a different club, that but not just at Chelsea, because that's never going to happen for him. I'm sorry to say that.
And it's unfortunate, but.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up today, let's just quickly look ahead at the La Liga title. It might be decided. If Madrid can do business against Getafe today, it might be over. What do you think?
To be honest, I don't see any way back for Barcelona unless Real Madrid decide to be stupid. But and the thing is, you never with these La Liga clubs here. You never know. Like,
they're kind of suspicious.
Yeah. Like, if this was Liverpool, yeah, I would have been like, yeah, they're getting, like, they're wrapping this up. Like, but right now, I'm looking at Real Madrid and I'm like, this is the type of game Real Madrid can lose, like, 1-0, and that'll just be, like, some dead 1-0 game and the goal will be jammy. Like, Getafe scores, like, some jammy goal, and then that's it. And you know, but even then, like, even if they lose, I don't see how Barcelona is coming back. To take the title, because they're not showing any promising signs as well. And to be honest, all La Liga teams have been kind of dead this season. So for me,
I get you.
Yeah, like so I can't even now I can say, yeah, Real Madrid is probably gonna take it today. But the way La Liga is and the way like Real Madrid, Barcelona, these teams have been moving, I can see them losing, quite frankly. I can see it happening, and I don't see that like And I won't be surprised if that happens. I won't be shocked in any way, like, if that happens. But I back them. I would actually back them to win it. And I want them to win it so that Barcelona is forced to do something about it. But we'll see.
I get you. Like, my exact thoughts are, as bad as Barcelona are or can be, mm-hmm. Madrid is equally as suspicious, because you could see them today going out with a team of James Rodriguez and Isco on the wings. Something ridiculous like that. And then they just literally play a stupid 0-0 draw or even lose 1-0 to Getafe. And then they find themselves asking all the same questions again.
Yeah, I fully get what you're saying. Like, I'll watch the game. I'll tune in and see what happens. But I'm hoping they lose, because I'm a low-key Barcelona fan. But if they don't, yeah, it is what it is, quite frankly.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you to Kelly for joining us today. Nice having you.
And said Kelly, you know.
Well, we thank you for tuning in to the Bias Football Show today. Keep safe, keep cool, and we'll see you later.